so you have the agenda on your phone.
Josh, can I, would be okay to meet the committee, who exactly is the author of the town?
Sure.
Okay, I'm Tom Chief Moore, in case you don't know, Lieutenant Miller. Normally, Police Commissioner Volkman would be sitting with me, but he's out of town, so Lieutenant's calling in right now. And I don't know exactly who is on the committee, it's your...
Okay.
Alderman, full court now, Guy Walker.
Do you want Sarah or second ward? I guess that's it.
She's from the first one, right?
And Jane Tron.
Jane.
Okay. I have, you want to get to the first?
Yeah.
Well, I have some statistics. One of the things you requested was some end of the year statistics, so I made some packets.
Right.
So I'll just hand them out?
Sure.
And I'll go over these with you. I can talk you through it if you want, Ron. Okay, some of the things that you requested were basic statistics. So the very first statistic you see in front of you is the incident calls for service. So we classified for 2019 8,862 calls for service. And then they're broken down on the attached couple pages by incident type, so you have an idea of the type of calls that we're going to. Now, you look at the number 8,862, that's below what I've seen since I've been here. I've been here about 6.5 years. We've been as high as 10. People that have been in Hudson Police longer, like Dave, remembers the calls for service were 12,000 or so. So what we see is it's trended down to where the last couple years it's been around this number. So that's about 8,862 blotter entries. And then when you have time, obviously we don't want to, there's so many categories, I don't think we need to go through it tonight or could, but you can, when you read the report, you'll see exactly what the calls were, you know, what the nature of them were. The second thing you asked for was arrests and bookings. Now the difference here is how many people were actually arrested and how many charges were brought. So sometimes people are arrested, but are arrested on multiple charges. So in 2019, there were 685 arrests made in town for a total of 1,062 booking charges. And I believe we have those listed here on the other attachments. And you can work your way through those. And it shows the different crimes for which people were arrested. As you see, criminal mischief is a little higher. In some categories, a lot of unlicensed vehicle operation, which counts as an arrest. Some things, offenses involving children. You'll see as you read through there, the different, where it spikes. And concerning arrests and booking, just to give you, I just jotted down a couple numbers. There'd be 685 arrests in 2019 and 767 in 18. And the calls, for, or the booking charges, that means the number of call charges actually brought were about the same, 1,182, very close to last year's. And then the last thing I did not categorize for you, but I can still do it for you, is how many tickets were written, traffic tickets were written in 2019. So the department wrote 1,366 traffic tickets in 19, and that is down from 1,866 last year. But in a larger perspective, if you go back to 2015, that's we wrote double of what we've written traditionally. 15-year-old 900 and 11, 16-year-old 890, 17, 930, and then this year, 1,366. So the number of traffic tickets has trended up and slightly down from last year. And it's a lot to go through. I can, between now and the next meeting, anything that you want to look at this or want further information, I'd be glad to supply it. But that's the best I could come up with today. And also those traffic, if you need to break down the types of traffic tickets.
Body cam, I wanted to know what the status of it now.
Okay, body cams, we deployed those on December 20th, and the footage from the body cam gets routinely sent to the district attorney's office as part of the discovery proceeding. I'd say that we've been doing a pretty good job of it. We've done it routinely. We've had no problem. We're using the cloud storage for the camera. We'll just have to monitor it and see how expenses go with it. But so far, we've complied with discovery rules. So far, so good. Every arrest has had body cam footage attached to it and sent to the district attorney's office as evidence. So far, so good. I'm sure we'll, by the end of the year, we'll have all sorts of stories relating to body cams.
All right. So on third, bill referred on discovery requested.
Bail reform. The bail reform has had not a large impact on the department so far. The things that we want to keep an eye on with the bail reform laws is two perspectives. One is the manpower costs that relate to bail reform. The department gets about 200 plus bench warrants a year. That's folks that have been in front of the judge, have failed to show, and we have to go file paperwork and go get again. It's a possibility that that number will go up under the bail reform laws, but and cost us in manpower, perhaps overtime, but I can't make that judgment yet. We'll have to wait and see. So far, I don't see any real impact on the department here in this first month. The other impact would be on public safety, and once again, this is an incident where a person normally might have been put in jail on bail, is now released and goes out and commits a crime in the community. And once again, it's January. I can't make any kind of statements on that so far because we haven't seen anything like that happen. So there has been some public pushback from sheriff's offices across the state and stuff, but here in Hudson, we haven't had any instance of someone being ROR'd and then harming someone or committing a crime. So we'll keep an eye on it.
And you hired two people, right?
Yep. The but I just want to add something to the discovery, Thorne.
Okay.
Here's, bail reform aside, the discovery law changes, I think, are the ones that might have the most impact on the department. And what we've talked about before is, under the new laws, we're under strict guidelines to provide every piece of evidence on a short timeline to the DA's office in order to prosecute a case. So we have a lot of stuff that takes up a lot of storage. Our video in our station, body camera data, radio transmissions all recorded. All these things have to be packaged up and brought to the district attorney's office within 15 days. We were way ahead of it back in October, November, practicing, getting it done. It's required more clerical work. But so far, we've kept up. I think the real problem is going to be on the county level at the district attorney's office, because we're sending them all this stuff, as is the sheriff and the state police, and they have to store it all. And I think it'll be a costly thing for the county. But we're holding our own here, getting this stuff prepared and sent over there. So far, so good. It's one of these things over the course of the year I'll keep you posted on. We've purchased some storage, some data storage to try to make this all work. That's what we've been trying to do.
You guys bought a hard drive or just that?
We've bought some terabytes, but it's a matter of having an arrest or having an incident, getting it packaged up quickly, getting it all done, all that clerical stuff, and out. in the timeline, and we've been holding our own. And the credit goes a lot to Betty, who works over there, the lieutenants, everyone, all the guys are trained to, we've been trained to download this stuff in a timely manner and get it over there. So I'm happy that we've been able to do our obligation and get it done. So that's the spirit of which we'll go forward.
Is there a time frame after which the data can be...
15 days. In other words, no. In a prosecution, you have to hang on to the data throughout the prosecution.
Right, but I mean, if the data is being retained for every arrest, like,
yes.
is there a point after which, if the arrest is not resulting in...
Some data is dumped. Because, for example, body camera data that has not, is not turned into an arrest gets turned over. Stuff that's turned into an arrest or investigation gets saved. So, you know, it is not a total.
I just want to add, Chief, I think what you're asking, New York State sets the guidelines of how long each arrest has to stay based on what type of arrest, so violation, specific violation. They have a guideline of how long we keep the digital evidence. If something got, like, let's say got dismissed, obviously it would be gone immediately. So it's all based on New York State law. I think that's what you're asking.
So that's it. So here is January so far. So good.
So new hiring,
So February 3rd, after interviews over the holidays, we're going to hire Doreen Danforth, who is number one on the civil service list as our senior account clerk, to replace Nicole, who left us in December for a job at the state comptroller's office. On December 6th, we hired Ashley Stroka, who is also number one on the civil service list as our replacement police officer for Sergeant Bauer, who retired. And we've done something we haven't done in a while. She's actually a cadet at the academy.
Oh, she already cadet.
Yeah, so we'll expect her out in July, if she makes it through the academy all right.
But Doreen?
Pardon?
The other one, Doreen?
She's all set to start February 3 and to replace, and this is important right now for all the things I was just talking about. Betty, who's our other IT specialist who works 20 hours a week, she's been tasked with a lot of this stuff, so the cavalry is on the way to help her out. Duane, can I put something else in on the agenda?
Sure.
Okay, I forgot to supply this with you. We've made some emails to the treasurer and stuff. The department would like a credit card. There was a resolution made in September 2006, Resolution 5, that prohibits the departments from having a credit card. Mm-hmm. But we're finding this to be a problem, keeping cash on, petty cash on and things like this. The credit card with a cap on it is something we could use. And in one of the instances, for example, prisoners that are kept in the cells for more than a period of time are supposed to get meals and taken care of. We find the guys, especially off hours, just taking money out of their own wallet to pay for food and drink and stuff like that. A credit card with a small limit on it, small cap on it, would be something could be used, a lot more accountability. But it would require the resolution, a new law, or something, the resolution to be withdrawn from all those years ago.
How much you can't be talking about?
It wouldn't matter. Whatever, I don't know how credit cards work, $1,000 cap, a $500 cap, whatever. It would be just a small amount to keep in the department. Hello.
Hi, I'm Jane Trump. I'm sorry. The late arrival.
Here you go. Here's some paper.
Oh, good. Paper.
Just some
thank
steps.
You. maybe you're talking about the same thing, but I'm wondering if a prepaid credit card would be the same.
Yeah, anything like that would work.
Would be okay, yeah. Rather than something you work, a balance you work down from, and
right.
Then would be replenishes.
Yep. I don't know how that would work under the standing resolution. I guess we'd have
to. Yeah, I don't know. It's just an alternative, just a different methodology. Yeah. Don't know if it addresses the larger point.
And then the last thing, Juan, agenda that I have, we've almost had the inside of the station painted. It's nearly done. And more presentable, we're looking, we'd like to have in the spring some kind of open house. We haven't had one since the building opened on April 1st, 2017. Or
17.
So we'd like to do that, something to invite the public in. The spring's a kind of way
inside.
Inside, we'd have an open house, invite the public in to look at the station. So we've completed some painting and getting the place looking good.
What that cost would be?
We had money saved for the painting, about $4,500. A lot of the painting, like the offices and stuff, we did ourselves with just the cost of the paint. But this was a lot of paint, something like 7,400 square feet.
So is it a new building? I mean,
what's that?
The building is pretty new, right?
Yeah, but the hallways were never finished painting.
They're just sort of iron.
Oh, okay.
So would you guys want to hire people to do that? Or
we hired a contractor to come in.
So contractor, is that it's a bidding or just a pre-friendly?
Yeah. I didn't hire the contractor that works for me.
That's not that.
It's outside the department.
Okay. All right. Any new business?
And what, how much is that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
How much would that be about?
We already did. We were at $4,500.
Oh, 2019 budget.
Yeah, the going rate for...
Oh, it's already...
Okay. Yeah, the going rate for... Interior paint is about $1.50 a square foot. This guy did it for 68 cents a square foot. We got a good deal.
Yeah. Any counsel?
Just a question. I'm kind of new to everything. I'm just trying to get my feet wet here and see what's going on. I know I got to do, catch up on reading and reading. And I don't mean to sound ignorant. This question, but how many police are on the force currently?
Okay, so we have, that's good, and you can ask anything.
Yeah.
And by the end of the year, you'd be an expert.
Yeah.
We have the charter allows us to have 26 total officers, including me. In the budget that we prepared for this year, we have enough for 25. Currently, we have, counting actually, we have 25. We have one officer off on extended sick leave, so that leaves 23 viable working officers out in the field right now.
Now, is that based on what's going on in the city, or is that just...
That's a good question. What happens is a lot of times people say, well, we're a small city of 6,500 people or whatever, you know, what should the size of the police force be? And if you look to comparable towns like Norwich or Mechanicsville or things like this, you know, we should be smaller, probably a department of 15, 16, or 18 officers. Instead, we have authorized strength of 26. And that's based on the calls for service, because if you look at comparable towns, they probably aren't answering 8,000 or 9,000 calls for service. As the calls for service goes down, the need for that many police officers goes down also. So I would say over time, and this is a snapshot of crime statistics and calls for service, but it seems to be trending down. Let's hope it goes that way. Let's hope it continues to go that way. And then you can have a real discussion about what size police force you need. But so, you know, that's what the trend's been.
Do you know what a comparable city's calls for service are? Or, I'm sorry, you just said
The one city that always sticks out to me is Norwich.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which is, but then you're also dealing with area. In other words, we're a very concentrated, very condensed city with a high number of call volume. I don't know, I'd have to see. I look in the Uniform Crime Report, and our numbers in our little 2.2 square miles is comparable to the state police for the remainder of the county. Sheriff's office probably has 1,000 or more calls above us, but
they include civil.
theirs is a little convoluted because of all the civil actions that they do. But I know that we're almost neck and neck with the state police for all their calls for the remainder of Columbia County. And you can look up Uniform Crime Report or what they call the Department of Criminal Justice Services Incident-Based Reporting, IBR. And you can look up any town in the state to kind of get an idea for calls for service and crimes reported and stuff.
I'm like Wayne, new, so we'll be asking the same kind of basic questions.
Sure.
You just said that we're neck and neck with calls or that the state police answered throughout the county. The county doesn't have a law enforcement force. I mean, there's a county sheriff.
County sheriff, yeah.
And is there a deployment of officers behind that person? Or?
Oh, yeah, the sheriff has two responsibilities, primarily the jail, running the jail, and secondly, he has a road patrol. Even a third, they have a civil division that gets involved with evictions and things like that. So, yeah, the county puts out a road patrol that's comparable to the state police road patrol, which is 24 hours staffing throughout the county.
Okay. But the stat you just mentioned, the number of calls across the county comparative to Hudson, is just what the state police address.
The thing is, the last time I looked at the Uniform Crime Report, it's very comparable.
Okay.
With the new cadet coming in, is she coming in full time?
She'll be full time. Well, it happens. We don't have any. Everything you're asking is something's been asked before, so it's a good question. One of the things they said, well, to save money or help staffing, can you have part time police officers? And the current contract doesn't allow for that. So we do not have part time police officers. In HPD. Only full-time.
Oh, okay. So that was the current contract that just went past? It would just be
for years and years. It's always been, if there would be an issue with police union, I think, if you tried to put on a part-time officer.
Yeah, no, not on breaking the law. I just wanted to see what the status was.
Is this the time where we would bring up a question related to our wards?
Okay.
So I'm on the first ward alderperson, and we had some constituents bring up questions around trying to get enforcement of the speed limit up at the top of Worth Avenue. Worth Avenue, where it goes out to Route 9. And, it goes 45, 30, and apparently there's quite a lot of non-compliance with that. So
I think in the last 6 months we've deployed the radar trailer up there. We've also put up a dummy car up there, which you've seen. So what we do is we routinely get that from your ward, especially coming in. We get truck braking. And we also get speeding coming in. Mm-hmm. So between the radar trailer, which dampens the speed, and also setting up the dummy car once in a while, plus every once in a while we'll do a speed enforcement, try to keep the speeding in check. Mm-hmm. We do the same thing on 3rd Street coming into the city.
And also, just not to interrupt, but I just put an order and directive out last week addressing that exact area by chance. So I must have been reading your mind. You guys were directed to specifically go to that area last week just by chance. So
how often will they be there?
What happens is they're doing a special traffic for concerns like yours specifically, because the chief has gotten a lot of different ones in the areas. And that just happened to be one on the list. So they'll do a little sheet, and they explain the amount of time that they're in that area. Mm-hmm. So I would say if they have at least three guys on, they'll spend at least, I would say, at least a half hour to an hour dedicated right to that. That's a shift, unless it were minimum staffing. I just updated that with the chief's approval, but that the...
And we create a record of all that, so you'd be able to see how long we're there and how many tickets are generated. Mm-hmm. We find that the well, we don't have the manpower, that the radar trailer that we got on the grant,
it
does help. We move it around the city.
Oh.
It's that big sign, that variable message sign. It's got a radar display. And also we'll park a car up here once in a while. Believe it or not, that helps once in a while, too.
Mm-hmm.
Not by the school right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the school
one.
We were able to get the.
Did you ever get the data from the school one?
We have not got the data from the school one yet, but I think from what I've observed, it helps. The one that Dominic got installed out there, I think, worked pretty good. But we have the same concerns out there too. We run radar out there once in a while, put the sign out once in a while.
So what does once in a while mean? Like every.
I can get you that information if you like. I don't have it right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you heard the statistics like I said, it was 3 years ago we wrote 830 tickets. Last year we wrote 1,866. So traffic enforcement citywide has more than doubled in the last 3 years.
That's more because there's more cars in town, or is it just a
combination? No, I think it's just the things we're talking about is concentrated details, traffic details. We have grants for traffic details. We do DWI enforcement, cell phone enforcement. We have different details, we call them, you know, to concentrate on certain things as they come up in our city. I don't think that a month goes by there isn't some traffic details. So if you're asking the frequency, at least once a month.
And this increases all moving traffic violations.
Yes. Yeah, we have through a state grant, we'll get a cell phone initiative, or we'll get a car seat initiative, and we'll have a special detail for that. But the guys write all manner of tickets every day.
I don't want to feel like I'm picking on a cadet, but this is another question. A full-time cadet pay rate just starting, the going rate.
Okay, it's less. It's about 3/4 of the starting pay. When they're in the cadet status for 6 months, they don't get paid what a full-time police officer does. And I think her pay is around
850. Yeah, not even four. Probably 48 something. It's 85% of a.
Of a full-time sign, I'm going to guess. I can get you that information if you want. So what would you think, 45?
48.
Okay.
Then you sign up to be a cadet.
Well, we always sign off the civil service list.
You know? That's just the starting rate.
That's starting rate, yeah.
Right, when she graduates police school, she'll get a percentage raise to the status of police officer.
What would that be if you don't mind me
asking? I think it's 5% more to start or something like that. It's all contract. It's all in the contract. This way.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So public comments?
Is there any numbers in that report for overdoses in the city?
Thought I saw four.
Yeah,
you know what, Mayor? I can give you a special report because there's overdoses, there's Narcans, and then there's overdose deaths.
Yeah.
I think last year, I think we had two overdose deaths. I think we already did this report. And I think we had about 7 or 8 Narcan. I can get you a special report on that, but it's probably buried in here.
Narcan
administered 13, hang on.
Nine.
So that's 9 administered, let's see. Overdose. Let's same, we just did, we just had this discussion. I think there was two overdose deaths.
Here, they have drug overdose and they have four, but that's not deaths.
Right.
Just the one that was.
Four overdoses, seven Narcan.
Nine Narcan uses.
Nine Narcan. I can get you, Mayor, if you want. We'll get your real report on that.
Yeah, that'll be great.
The deaths will always be a detective's case.
It says death investigations four, but that's total death investigation, so that doesn't necessarily mean overdose.
Okay, with the drug overdose, that just so in case. What is the number of?
That would be like if someone called and reported a drug overdose, they would then put it in that type, and the officer, if it's still applicable to the call, would keep it in there, or the sergeant would change it if it wasn't. So I would say it's fair to say that I don't know why they, oh, the Narcan.
So what, nine, and that's four, if that's the then the Narcan, they had nine, wouldn't it be considered a full dose?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. So it would be in the neighborhood of four or nine, but I'm not, it could have been reported wrong. They could have put in the Narcan in lieu of the overdose. You see what I'm saying? Like they just classified it as different. So I'd say there's no minimum than four, no more than nine.
So it is good at that, actually.
Right, it's really.
Yeah, good. Nine and two is kind of, especially here, people said. Yeah.
Are there any numbers on handle of care?
We use that all the time. We don't have that as a crime classification, but we're using it all the time. We just used it again last week. So I can get you that too, but that doesn't get classified as a crime.
Yeah. No, that was a separate question.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Definitely in full use and used a lot.
Yeah. Could you send me those as well?
Yep. Please.
Yes.
Great. New detox center that's being proposed in Greenport, which would facilitate, I guess, referrals to rehab and pretty much handle that. Do you think that might cut down on the overdoses in the past?
From what I heard, which I don't know all the details, but clearly something to help addicts, okay, that doesn't necessarily... It's actually, the way I understand it, it's not even going to cost the taxpayers anything. You're going to be able to bring them to facilities, get treatment there. It's something that's a long time coming. It can only help the situation. So I don't even know what your question was, Amanda.
Well, I'm just thinking, do you think it might cut down the overdoses? And now that we have someone to facilitate, take people in?
You've heard me say it here every month, is for an addict, it's got to be easier to find help than it is to buy cheap drugs. And if a facility like that comes to our area and it provides a choice for an addict, I think 100% it's got to help. So they'll be more inclined, folks, some will be more inclined to go get help than to go somewhere and buy some heroin with fentanyl in it. So I think it's going to be a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Just on the heels of that, there's a public hearing tomorrow night. Excuse me, at the planning and Greenport planning, and this is a 20-bed facility that's being built on Merrill Avenue near the jail. People USA is doing the proposal. That's really something we're really missing in our community. Having worked with the bail fund, most of our people that we bail out of jail have issues with addiction, and oftentimes it's related to heroin, and there's simply nowhere for them to go to get help other than Rhinebeck or out of the county. So I'm hoping the chief might show up. I have someone come and speak on behalf of it's a good idea. It's at 7:30 at the Greenport planning. Just on, that's one issue that's very positive and hopefully gets community support. Maybe the mayor could show up, it would be great. trucks on State Street, I would say we get more trucks, far many more trucks. I don't know whether it's because the GPS is sending there, but we've become a truck route. In addition to Columbia, we're mostly a residential neighborhood. I don't know why, but that's one issue that is chronically increasing. On the third question is, when you do a speeding ticket, does that require all the same data that all the others? You have to provide that data also to the district attorney's office, or is that going to the court?
It always goes to the court, and then matters like unlicensed operation, uninsured, that has to go to the district attorney's office.
Which is an additional lift for you for the police department to do.
Correct. Because like a radio transmission is discovering. So if I pull you over and you don't have a license, then that radio transmission has to be captured, burnt onto a disc, and sent to the DA's office. And that's a traffic ticket. So you can imagine. And if you notice in the stats, we do quite a few unlicensed operation tickets, so it's a lot.
So how many cases do you think you're going to lose because of that?
I don't want to say, Linda, because we've been on top of it.
The district attorney has complained about the onus on providing the materials.
Well, we're going to do our part. I think the bigger issue is over there, because they have to be the repository for all this data. I don't know, that's going to be a lot. I mean, it's costly. Us, it's a couple hundred dollars for a terabyte of data. We change the way we do things. There's going to be less time, obviously, on patrol if we're spending time downloading things and this kind of stuff. But I'm optimistic that we can hold our own for a while.
Okay, and the fourth thing I have on my mind is that perhaps we should change the turning on the right on stoplights in the city to take away the problem of the pedestrian being run over. It's inconvenient for the drivers, but perhaps if we put no turn on red, it might be one way to help the community.
Sign at every corner?
What can I say? It's helped us on State Street, where they don't turn right on red by the library, the former old library anymore. Mm-hmm. That's helped our community.
So the help on State and Third too.
Yeah,
State and Fourth, but in a way.
State and Fourth, I think, where there's more accidents. There's a lot of accidents that happen in that.
And Columbia.
My two cents for the evening.
To address one thing on the trucks, so I talked to Joe Perusi, who is the state police member in charge of the Commercial Vehicle Enforcement Unit, and I've asked him once again. This time we stepped it up a little bit to have some kind of report as to how often the state troopers are stopping trucks on Third Street as you leave the city. Secondly, I asked, can our members join them? So when they're doing truck inspections, we're going to start, and they said okay. So we're going to start taking Hudson police officers, assign them with the trooper to do commercial vehicle enforcement. Now, here's the thing. We don't have the resources to make a Hudson police officer certified, trained as a commercial vehicle. It just takes too much. There's so many laws involved. But if our guys are working with the troopers, they can get the main things. They can get the main safety violations. They can pick up on it if they work with the troopers. And then we can start doing more commercial vehicle enforcement on our own. We're never going to be able to weigh trucks on Columbia. We don't have scales. But they're doing it. I know the troopers are doing it routinely outside the city. I can get information on that. But now the next step is for us to actually work, and they have no problem with that. So we're going to start joining them when they have these details outside the city. And it's a way of our guys getting kind of trained.
When you say outside the city, do you mean just at that area where they do that?
Actually, they do.
They wrote.
It's actually within the city. That's one spot where they do it. They do another one out here at Buckley's Corners. Mm-hmm. But the one I'm interested in is down at the bay outside mm-hmm. the city, because that's within the city lines, but our guys can join them there. Mm-hmm. And their troopers do sit there routinely. It's part of their routine mm-hmm. schedule.
Bill.
Bill Houston, 558 State Street. I have several things I'd like to bring up, only because we didn't have a meeting last month. But Chief, I just want to add to what Linda brought up. I'm on State Street. I see about every day at least one tractor trailer either going up or down State Street. And these, I'm not looking for these things. I'm stepping out my door. There's a 53-footer going right through 3rd and 6th and State. We don't want inspections, Chief. We want your cars to be out there and stop these guys and give them a ticket. Are you doing that?
Yeah, obviously. If our
Is it happening?
We see people off the truck route and we stop them, Bill.
Are you giving tickets?
Yes.
How much is the ticket?
How much does it cost?
How much does it cost the truck driver? Do you know?
It's a city code violation, right?
Well, they can do either.
How much does the ticket say? Like a parking ticket. All your tickets have a price on them, right?
Not uniform traffic tickets. That's up to the... No. Uniform traffic tickets do not have a fine on them. Only parking tickets.
So when is that determined?
At court.
Okay, anyway, that's material. We don't need inspections, Chief. We need to stop them before they're here. It doesn't matter what's inside them. They're too big, they're too loud, and they do too much damage to our streets. State Street, specifically. That's all I have to say about that. I'm curious. I'm disappointed that the commissioner's not here because we haven't had one in several years, right? Graziano was the last one, maybe?
No, Marvin Harvey.
After Graziano?
Harvey.
Yeah. I'm unsure what... I guess I want to find out what the commissioner's role is. Maybe the new committee is curious as well. What's the commissioner's role, and how does it take over your duties, if anything? And specifically, my interest, traffic safety, traffic control devices. Who is the go-to person for traffic control devices, lights, crosswalks?
Okay, so the police commissioner is charged with that, with traffic issues within the city. Enforcement, when it comes to signs and things like this, the police commissioner has the authority, okay? But what's going to have to change, and I think we've talked to Rob Perry about this, is there has to be some process. Because you stamp your feet and want to stamp a stop sign at a particular street doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be one. There has to be some system of traffic studies, information from the DOT, before we can simply put in traffic devices.
Sure.
How do we know that? Because they've been put in, removed, put in, removed. Speed limits have been 20, then 30, then back to 20. There has to be some kind of consistency here. But to answer your question, the police commissioner is in charge of traffic signs and traffic control.
Is he the last word, or is Rob Perry? I'm still confused about where DPW, Rob Perry, their commissioner, and your commissioner, who's making the final decision?
It's a decision made between DPW and the police, because obviously some issues that are ordered on still would require funding. So ultimately, if we wanted to put, let's say, traffic control devices in the alleys, that could be a decision that the police commissioner recommends. But ultimately, if we can't pay for it, afford it, or it can't be done physically, the DPW would have some say in the matter.
Okay. I want to take another minute or two to let you guys know that something is wrong within the city in terms of getting traffic control devices installed in Hudson. I've been going to meetings for a long 3-4 years now since I moved here. I go to DPW meetings, and I heard at least 3 different people years ago get up and say, you need a stop sign at Washington and 6th. We all know it's the top of the hill from the lake. There's not a stop sign coming up. And Rob Perry said, okay, we'll look into it. Nothing ever happened. I thought, that's weird. Well, about 6 months ago, there was an accident there. It was nasty. I didn't see the accident, but I saw I was there about 5 minutes after it happened. I came to the next police meeting. I told Chief about the accident. I'm not sure if he was aware of it or not. And he said, okay, I'll look into it. We'll see. Next meeting I brought it up, Chief said that he had talked to DOT and that there was going to be a stop sign installed there. This was about 6 months ago. And then I emailed the chief soon after that. I said, Chief, when's the sign going to be installed? He said that Rob Perry had told him that by the winter it would be installed, which is a little bit vague. I emailed the chief just a month ago, and I said, "Chief, it's the winter time. Why is the stop sign not at the corner of 6th and Washington?"
Better make it sharp.
And the chief told me that it's now up to the DPW. It's out of his hands. So the DPW didn't want to do it 3 years ago, and now it's up to the DPW to get it done again. Do you think it's going to happen?
So this is what
I'm not criticizing.
No, no, I know that.
I'm criticizing the system.
No, we
it
have
doesn't
a,
make
we,
any
we
sense.
We have a relationship, right? So let's take a guess how many times you emailed me with a request. Would you say it's more than 100?
Of what?
And
can we just stick to this?
I'm not
Chief, please.
Let's suppose that, can my answer speak? Can I answer you?
Yeah, I'll talk to you
okay,
about this
so
issue.
I want this to be fair. Now, if you've emailed me, let's say, 150 times in the last 2 years, of those 150 times, how many times have I or my lieutenant acted on your request?
I'm going to talk about the stop sign. I'm
half,
not going to waste time
three
not talking about the stop sign, Chief.
First of all, like I said before, if a citizen demands a stop sign at 6th and Columbia, there has to be some empirical evidence for that traffic.
You said you talked to the DOT
and
it was going
to
happen. I don't understand. Now you're saying it's not going to happen. You understand, guys?
Everything, listen to me.
He said it was going to happen.
I cannot go physically put in that sign. Now, why did we tell you that you're going to put that sign?
You put the sign in. You said that Rob Perry was going to do it by the winter.
Bill, I think you're right. I think there has to be a system in place for requesting and having things put in.
And I heard Rob Perry say, I heard Rob Perry say the exact same thing in the DPW meeting 6 months ago. Like,
right.
Are we going to continue talking about the new process? Who's going to,
I
don't know if the HPD committee can
hang
do
on.
It. I don't
Rob
know
Perry,
if DPW
Perry,
can do
Rob
it.
Perry has
but somebody's got to do it.
Rob Perry has grabbed samples from about a half dozen different cities that use a written procedure for putting in traffic control devices. He's putting those together. He's going to make a presentation as to what would be fitting for this city, and then our city leaders will decide on whether that's appropriate or not.
Is this going to happen by the winter?
I don't know. I'm reticent from giving any promises.
Well, I guess I would like to know what, if we could just take this specific case as an example of what is the process that has been happening. So there was a request. I mean, it sounds like you maybe said, okay, this is going to happen, and then
right.
Maybe you said, oh, this is actually not really from my department.
What it is, every time you install a traffic control device, whether it be a sign, a light, a stripe on the ground, it incurs some kind of liability to the city,
mm-hmm.
Okay? We've made mistakes in the past, if you look over at 7th Street Park here, where there was a yield and a stop and then a no left turn. That's not the best way to do something. Everything almost requires, every time you deal with traffic control, requires a traffic study. Okay? The Department of Transportation can help us with that. So you take data of what's going on. For example, 6th and Columbia, how many accidents have been there in, let's say, the last 100 years?
6th and Washington.
Or 6th and Washington. 1, 2, 100. That's what's going to drive the need for a speed zone or whatever.
So what triggers that process to actually go into...
Well, in the past, the police commissioner has said, put a yield sign at Park Place or put a stop sign, and it just gets done. And what we're saying is that might not be the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It empowers the city charter, empowers the commissioner to do those things. But really, they should be done through a thoughtful process.
Yeah, I did a research for Washington and 6th Street for that stop sign. Because I wanted to know what was going on. And I think there was 2 accidents in 10 years. I'm just saying, just something to keep in mind of that could be part of the problem as well.
Mm-hmm.
So there may not be a stop sign at 6th and Washington?
I'm just asking
the chief. Chief, do you think it's going to happen?
I don't know, Bill.
You don't know. So I guess that's my...
There's a lot of things I don't know.
Bill, we have a police commissioner.
You told me that you put in the...
I was suggesting you take it up on the police commissioner.
See, that's... Okay. So,
all right.
My last question. Just one more comment. Chief, can you give us an update about the garage, the illegal garage at 6th and Prospect? Have you done anything about it in the last 2 months?
Hang on. We're looking into it, that's all I can say right now.
All right. Motion for the time.
Last question. Commissioner going to be taking care of parking duties, parking enforcement, or is that still you?
The police commissioner and I have met twice so far, and we have a lot of ideas about the parking bureau that I think you'll see play out this year. And the mayor is included in the loop also.
Motion to adjourn.
We're looking to make improvements in the parking.
Second? Any second?
Second.
Okay. Thank you. Welcome. Thank you,
Glenn.
You did a perfect job.
First name. Wasn't that hard. Didn't ring? All right.